So starting with the factual background, I learned about this case probably along with the rest of the community by hearing about it on the news. So you see a picture there, an image of Benchmark Bank, and there's a quote there from the Austin American-Statesman, which is our paper of record in Travis County, or in Austin, sorry. It says, a police detective investigating a bank robbery fatally shot a man Friday afternoon after a foot chase and a struggle that ended under a bridge in West Austin. So taking it back a little bit, this slide here portrays a picture of the decedent, Larry Jackson Jr., at the Benchmark Bank. So this is the same bank you saw earlier, but from sort of a surveillance angle. And the interesting thing about this case is that there actually had been a bank robbery at this bank that very morning. So the bank was closed at the time, and there was a detective there, Detective Charles Kleiner. He was interviewing the bank employees about this bank robbery that had just happened. So the bank is closed. You see Larry Jackson Jr. trying to enter the bank. So he tried the door. Of course, it was locked. He walked away. He reapproached the door and tried it again. So one of the bank employees later testified that because Detective Kleiner was there, she felt comfortable. She went up to the door. She asked Larry Jackson, you know, can I help you? And he said, my name is William Majors, and I would like to make a withdrawal. So the bank employee then re-enters the bank. It just so happens that William Majors is the name of a known bank customer. So he was someone that was friends with the bank president. So she tells Kleiner, you know, I know William Majors. This is not William Majors. And he goes out to talk to Larry Jackson. So just outside the bank here, Detective Kleiner detains Jackson. He sort of starts asking him about what his business there is. But before he gets very far into his interview, Jackson just takes off running. So he can't complete the interview. This slide is an overhead sort of depiction of the scene there. And that very large rectangle there is a Randall's grocery store. So people who live in Austin are probably pretty familiar with this area. There's a small Benchmark Bank there. Then there's that big Randall's grocery store. And you can see, hopefully, the slide's not too dark. You can see kind of a path snaking behind the grocery store and further on. That is the path of the pursuit of Detective Kleiner pursuing Jackson. He starts off on foot. He's running after him. They run behind the grocery store. And Larry Jackson is younger than Detective Kleiner. He's slimmer. He's fitter. Detective Kleiner just cannot keep up with him on foot. So what happens next is that he stops a driver. You see that larger building there that's not a perfect rectangle? That's the Seton Hospital. So there's a woman that works there at Seton Hospital named Regina Bethune. She's a chaplain and an ordained minister. So she's in her car. She's in the parking lot. She's leaving work around 4 o'clock, and she's waved down by Detective Kleiner. So later she testifies that he appears very agitated, breathless, and red in the face. He doesn't identify himself by name, but he says, Austin Police. So he actually gets in her car and compels her to drive. So they start driving. They drive until they actually spot Jackson, and he's walking. At that point, he may be feeling that he's gotten away. He's no longer running, but they spot Jackson. You can kind of see a grassy area there where he became visible to the two of them. And then, basically, Detective Kleiner compels Regina Bethune to drop him off there on the bridge that you see crossing over the pathway. So at that point, Detective Kleiner sees Jackson. He takes out his weapon, and he commands Jackson to stop. But Jackson doesn't stop. He starts running again. And so you see this sort of overpass. There's also a pedestrian walkway, which hopefully you can see there in that slide. And what happens is Jackson starts running, and he crosses under that bridge. And Kleiner pursues him again on foot. And so he crosses under the bridge. You can see there's a slight incline. He turns left immediately upon getting under the bridge and starts climbing sort of an embankment. It's a fairly steep embankment. And as he's scrambling up, as Detective Kleiner described it, he says, his back presented me with a target. So Detective Kleiner is still holding his gun in his hand. At the time, he's doing this task force job. He's there interviewing at the bank. He's wearing actually a long polo shirt. So he says, because of the length of this shirt, I couldn't reholster. He starts scrambling after Jackson. He says, his back presents me with a target. And so he strikes him twice on the lower back with his weapon in his hand. And the way he described the strikes is that they were hammer fist strikes, so it's sort of the meaty part of his palm meeting the back of the running Jackson. And then, according to his testimony, at that point, Jackson turned into him, causing him to fall, and as he later testified to the grand jury, as I'm falling, I hear my gun discharge. So, based on this series of events, the case is actually indicted May 12, 2014, and they charge Detective Charles Kleiner with the felony offense of manslaughter. So the way that the indictment is written, I don't know, the indictment's there, I'm not sure you can read that wording, but basically, with recklessly causing the death of Larry Jackson by striking and attempting to strike while holding a loaded firearm, seizing and attempting to physically control while holding a loaded firearm, and attempting to seize and physically control without maintaining a distance sufficient to holster.